Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BZ. It is Saturday, the 2th of April, Anno Domini 2016, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Some of you paid your dues. We would like to thank those of you who were kind enough over the past couple of weeks to pledge in this our first pledge drive of the year. We only come to you twice a year to do this, and we are honored at those of you who were kind enough to pledge. To that end, let me thank David from Ontario, Canada, who just pledged online. Thank you so much, David. We appreciate your generosity and your becoming a member of our show. And for those of you who are who pledged or who have become members before, thank you so much. We appreciate very much your help, your assistance, and your generosity. As you may know, if you've looked at our website at jazz901.org, we are about $9,000 short of our goal. That means that if we don't make it, there will be changes here. We've already seen one show cut by half an hour. And if that continues, they may take a half an hour out of another one, like, oh, us, in order to make a whole hour.
It's all possible.
For somebody else to... Or maybe they'll take a whole hour, give somebody an hour and a half who's willing to pay for the time. And I understand that. I get that. We're hoping that that doesn't happen. And you can help us make that not happen by giving us a call and making a pledge. The number is 585-966-CHAZZ. That's 966-5299. For those of you outside the 585 area code, like David from Toronto or from Ontario, you can call toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, you can pledge all week securely online at jazz901.org. We really, truly do need your help. And the only way that this show stays on the air, because we're already seeing it happen around us, and the only way this show stays on the air is with your generosity. So please, please make the call. Please pledge online. We prefer you pledge online because A, it means Steve doesn't have to do anything except answer computer questions, but B, it means we get Rob off his butt.
Yeah.
And actually sending us text messages. So please make the call, make the pledge, do it online. Do it now before you forget. This is not something that should be waiting for later. For those of you who have pledged, thank you so much for becoming a member of our family. We appreciate it. We love all of you, and we'd like to love more of you, so please make the call.
We're so close. Make the pledge. I mean, you know, this is literally the home stretch.
Yep.
And folks did great yesterday. I know when I was here Thursday night doing my show, we were sitting around $15,000.
Yep.
And now it's down to nine. So, you know, that's like $6,000 in one day. So, you know, no reason why, you know, we can't get this done this weekend.
There is no reason. And you're, except you, you're the reason. If you're not making the call, you're the reason.
Yep.
Very similar to what they're predicting for the presidential elections. They're predicting that Republicans will vote and Democrats will not vote simply because they're too lazy, or I don't know what the reason is. And we're seeing the same thing here. People tell us all the time how much they love the show, but they're not telling us with their wallets. And so I don't know what to make of that. But the station knows what to make of that, and we'd rather they didn't. So please, make the call, make the pledge. In the meantime, here's our news item of the day, and then we'll get to the phones. So if you're on the line, please be patient. We'll get to you. Microsoft built a Linux subsystem for Windows for Project Astoria, a system for running Android apps on Windows 10 mobile. But in February, the company, this is not an April Fool's gag because this has been going on for months. But in February, the company confirmed that Astoria was dead as it undermined the Universal Windows platform concept. But on Wednesday, not April 1st, Microsoft announced that the Windows 10 anniversary update, Windows 10 update will include the ability to run the popular Bash shell from Unix along with the rest of a typical Unix command line environment. Microsoft has developed some Windows kernel components that support the major Linux kernel APIs. Microsoft is calling this the Windows Subsystem for Linux, or WSL. A kernel API is one thing, but to be useful, you need user mode applications. For these, Microsoft is turning to Canonical, creators of Ubuntu, for help. Canonical has provided a system image containing the Ubuntu versions of the various command line tools that are typically found in a Linux distribution. For those of you who know about and care about such things, it's the GNU tools. Our understanding is that these are not recompiled or ported versions of the programs as are used in tools aimed at providing a Unix-like environment on Windows such as Cygwin, but instead unmodified programs. Microsoft is describing this in terms of providing a Linux-like command line environment at the moment, but from what we can gather, there's little fundamental restriction to this, potentially opening the door to running a wide range of Linux programs natively on Windows. This is far from the first time that Windows has been able to masquerade as a Unix-like operating system. From its inception, Windows NT included something called the POSIX subsystem. In one way or another, this Unix-like mode was supported all the way from Windows up NT up until Windows 8. Windows 8.1 removed it. These various subsystems suffered primarily from appearing to software as yet another Unix variant. They contained subtle differences from the POSIX support found in both FreeBSD and Linux, and they didn't provide the various non-standard extensions found in those kernels. This means that porting applications to compile and run correctly was challenging. This time around, things could well be different, though the proof of the pudding would be in the eating. Can't wait to give it a spin and poke around under the hood. How about you? So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is... Bash is coming to Windows 10, and your choices are, I can't wait. That's interesting. Meh. I just learned PowerShell. DOS commands forever, baby. And Bash who now? So far, we've got about 26, thank you, votes. And I know there will be those of you who will have more to say about this one. So if you scroll down on the right-hand side under Fascinating Stuff, you will see a link to the forums. And the second forum down is the poll discussion. And at the moment, at least, the number one item on the poll discussion is 2 April 16. Bash is coming to Windows. So far, three posts. We'd love to have you join in the discussion, both there and online, or both online and alive. So you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. I'm actually pretty excited about this. One of the problems that Microsoft has had for a long time is that, well,
we can donate a month's worth of shows on that one.
Yeah, but one of the problems they've had is that people just are not writing huge numbers of shell scripts.
No.
Under Bash, you can find an entire internet's worth of stuff everywhere on various Bash scripts that do all kinds of amazing things. I mean, amazing things.
You should explain Bash scripts.
Bash is the born again shell, B-O-U-R-N-E. Everything in Linux is a pun somewhere underneath. It's Bash is the born again shell. The shell is the command line.
Mm-hmm.
There was a born shell. Created by a guy named Bourne, not Jason. Just to...
How did you know I was thinking that?
Bourne identity?
How many years?
Yeah.
Right. So this is it was the Bourne shell. And then they... it was useful, but not terribly useful. So somebody else took it and beefed it up considerably and called it the Bourne Again shell. Mm-hmm. B-A-S-H, Bash. It's the Bash shell. It's the... standard in Ubuntu, you can change them. Mm-hmm. Of course, with Linux, you can change everything. but it is the standard shell in Linux, in Ubuntu, and in many Linuxes and in many Unixes. So there are an infinite number of scripts out there to do everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And what Microsoft is saying is, we want to be able to use every one of those without changing them. So if they can do that, if they can take, and as you may know, Linux is really, should actually be called GNU Linux, GNU, which is short for GNUs, not Unix. It's a recursive name. And basically the idea behind that is, Linux is the kernel. It's the thing that makes the operating system run. GNU is all the tools that you use, like ls to list files and bash itself, and rsync to do backups. And so having all the GNU tools available under Windows means that all those millions upon millions upon millions of bash shells, bash scripts,
mm-hmm.
will be useful now under Windows and make Windows that much more useful itself. So cool. it should be pretty cool.
Yeah.
If it works, and you know, of course, being actual Linux users, all of them, myself included, are a little leery of what we're actually looking at here. Whether or not it's going to be embrace and extend with an eventual let's take over.
How much is,
time will tell.
How much is Microsoft going to corrupt Linux like they've done everything else?
Right. Yeah. Well, part of the deal is they tried that already, right? They had their own POSIX shell inside Windows from NT onward,
mm-hmm.
and nobody used it because it wasn't real bash. Things would break, things wouldn't run right. And yeah. so Microsoft eventually just said, look, you know, there's a billion upon a billion upon a billion of these things out there. Let's just go with it. We'll see how long that lasts.
What's kind of interesting, though, is that a lot of the networking tools were based on Unix because that was first.
Anyway. Yeah, that was the biggest platform with the military and everything else, government, starting... The internet was all Unix.
So even now, you go to a Windows command prompt, you can type a lot of Unix networking commands, you know, ping and traceroute and right. netstat, and they're all in there because mm-hmm. that's the way networking works.
That's the way networking works. And when people, when the people who created DOS were putting those together, those are the commands they knew, so they used them. But there's a whole bunch more, most of them having to do with the operating system itself as opposed to networking. That are not in there.
Can I do Emacs?
Yes. Apparently you will be able to do Emacs. I don't know about VI, but you will be able to do Emacs.
There's Space Invaders is still hidden in Emacs, right?
Yes, I believe it is, yes. And so you'll be able to do all of that stuff. And I for one, can't wait. I have a million bash shells, bash scripts that I use. And so I'm looking forward to that. All right, to the phones. We at least have time to get the question in. I'm sorry, Robert. I got excited about Bash. We have Robert from Rochester. What's up?
Hi. Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. About backup. Okay. First of all, thanks for your column in the paper this week.
My pleasure.
Now, I've got a network attached storage. Okay. And I'm using some software that likes me to specify a network letter drive. As the target of my backups, so I set up a shared drive on my network attached storage, and I map. I'm using Windows 7. I map a letter to it, Z. Okay, now, I do my backups to that on a regular basis. Now, if I go to network neighborhood, okay, and I see. My network attached storage. It's called Disk Station. Okay? And if I double click on it, I see, without any prompt for password, I see all my shared drives. And if I go to the subdirectory where I have my backed up data, I can see all of it, unprotected by password. First of all, it would be good if I could password this. Secondly, Am I protected in any way by unmapping the drive letter from the shared drive? When I say protected, I mean protected from
ransomware and stuff
ransomware,
like that.
Ransomware, yeah.
The second question is an easy answer, yes.
Oh, so just unmapping the drive letter will protect me?
Theoretically.
Yeah.
What you want to do is try unmapping the drive letter and then going and looking at the share.
No, it's visible. It's not mapped to a drive letter at this time, and I'm able to open it. I rebooted my computer expecting that would wash away any stored password. I've also been fussing with a command line command called net use.
Yeah.
And I can't reliably make it ask for a password, and it's letting me see all my files in the network neighborhood window.
All right. Hey, stay on the line, Robert. We have to take a quick break, but we will answer this question when we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 20 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported, Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Robert from Rochester, New York on the line. Don't forget to click on an ad.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, look, you have Disk Station. What happens with Disk Station, and it's not one I use, but I'm somewhat familiar with it, so I'll tell you what I know, and I could be lying to you. What happens with Disk Station is it acts like an attached drive. That's what network attached storage does. It pretends to be a drive inside your machine. So when you boot and log in, it becomes a drive on your system, just like your C drive.
But no letter is assigned to that unless I say map network drive. When I boot, I see it in the network neighborhood.
Right. You don't have to map network drives. That's a Windows 3 leftover thing that you can still do today.
Okay.
Right.
So any network share is accessible by its path, //Synology/DiskStation.
Yeah.
Or whatever, yeah.
Well, when I log into the Disk Station using the web address, using the web interface, it prompts me for a password, and it won't let me go any further than the welcome screen without a password.
Right.
But I took care to log off, so I'm not logged on to the thing yet.
Well, you have to.
Well,
you have to,
and that's the web server. That's
right,
different than the file server.
Right. You have to differentiate between the web and the files.
Yes.
So the web server doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens on the web.
Okay.
So what happens is when you boot your machine, the Disk Station drive becomes a mounted drive on your system. It may not be mapped, but it is mounted.
Okay.
And that's how I just found it. You would use the web login of the Disk Station to create a password protected folder,
right?
Well,
and that's the
so you can create a password protected folder on your NAS.
Now, if I log in as a non-administrator user, if I create a non-administrator account on the Disk Station, then you can create what they call a home folder.
Right.
Which is just yours, and if you log in as someone else, it's invisible to you. Now, is that where I'm supposed to put my backed up files using my Windows backup software?
All right, so let's start with when you are on Windows, are you logged in as the administrator?
I can be, but I, on your advice, I customarily log in as a standard user.
Good. You should not be able to see anybody else's stuff, but your own stuff would auto-mount. That's because it's pretending to be a drive in your machine.
Well, I created an account on the Disk Station with the same username, Bob, as I'm using on my computer. But on the Disk Station, it would require a password. I put in username Bob, and I have to put in a password. But I never gave that to the to the computer. And it lets, and if I browse the files in Network Neighborhood under Disk Station, and I go to the home folder, which is supposed to be the home folder of the logged in user, I put a file in there that indicates what user it is, and it's the administrator's home folder.
Right. So you're not logged in as Bob.
I'm not logged in as anything. I'm logged into Windows as Bob, but I'm not logged into the Disk Station as anything.
Right. But so when you put that file into the folder, you're doing that from Windows or from inside the browser?
I did that from inside the browser yesterday.
Again,
I put an identifying text file in each user's home folder so I knew which home folder I was looking at.
Okay. And when you go to look at that outside the browser,
it says I'm looking at a file that says this is in admin home.
Right. So you're not seeing the one in Bob, which is exactly what you want. Right?
Say again.
Which is exactly what you want, right? Because you don't get to go to Bob until you mount it and provide a password.
Well, why should I see the administrator's home folder either?
Because that's the way Disk Station works.
Okay.
You have to see something, and it assumes that you created it as under that ID, so it assumes that ID is the administrator.
Okay, I would have expected it to say access denied. But so how would I get from Windows Network Neighborhood window to Bob's home folder?
And now you got to start reading the manual.
Okay,
I do not use that product enough. I'm sorry.
I did that, and that's why I'm calling you.
It would be //
some more.
Yeah, it'd be //server name // share name. No, single slash. So // server name /share /. Bob.
You're on Windows.
From what I understand, you'd say // Disk Station // home.
Depending
on how you were logged in, you would see the content of that user's home.
Yes, but now you need to go a level deeper. So it'd be // Disk Station /home/ Bob.
Okay. Now, the Disk Station has two shared folders. One is called Home, and one is called Homes. And Homes, if you're an administrator, has subfolders for each user.
Okay, then you use Homes instead of Home.
Right. And the administrator can see all that stuff because they're the administrator.
Right.
Yeah.
So if
I can see everything under that, though, now with no passwords.
Yes, because you're the administrator. That's how you set it up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I set it up.
Yeah, that's the way it sets up. The first user, the person who sets the thing up is the administrator. Had you set it up under your Windows administrator account, then your Windows Bob account would not be able to see anybody else's stuff.
How could I log out so it thinks I'm Bob instead of the administrator?
Again, now you got to look at the documentation. I don't use that program.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't use that.
And all of the
individual product.
All the things I'm seeing in the Synology forum are how to access folders without a password.
Right.
Yeah,
because
I know.
Most people don't want to use passwords.
Too.
Yeah.
On a similar vein, this will only take 30 seconds. Using Microsoft OneDrive, is it possible? They want you to set up a OneDrive folder. And it backs up everything from the one folder. If you have two partitions, you want to back up to OneDrive. Is that possible?
I've never seen it done, no.
Okay.
I'm sure it is. I just don't know how because I've never seen it done.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay. This is why people don't back up data because they don't make it easy.
They don't make it easy.
Well, it can be. You open Windows Backup and you say pick a destination and point it to your NAS. And then it backs up all your files onto your external hard drive,
right,
your external share.
What we're talking about is not the backing up. That's the easy part. The part is protecting it from things like rootkits.
Well, that's a different question.
Right.
It's all part and parcel of safe backup, though.
Right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Robert.
Nick, thanks for helping me.
Well, I hardly did, but you're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So it might not hurt to post a question in Synology's forums. How do I use a password? Because everything I'm finding is how do I not use a password?
Right.
There is a guest account that appears to be enabled by default. You might need to log in via the web interface and turn off the guest account.
Oh, that's a possibility too, I suppose. But yeah, it's basically what we're talking about here is having a hello, well done. What we're talking about here is having a network share that's only visible when you're backing up, and the rest of the time it is not. And that's harder. I do that under Linux fairly easily. And I guess when the bash shell is available under Windows, that'll be possible too. But until then, it's not going to be that easy under Windows. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Hello, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing well. I asked a question last week concerning the Rochester Google user group.
Okay.
And I did go to the site that Steve put the link up for. The site's there, but it's very dated. All the posts are for like 2-3 years ago. When I went to the About section, it still lists Saunders School of Business as the meeting place.
Yeah.
Somebody's not keeping that up. But they told me it's at St. John's on Highland.
St. John's Meadows, which is on Elmwood.
Oh. Meadows.
I thought it was St. John's Home. That's what I was remembering that you had said.
Yeah.
There's too many St. John's in town.
Okay, St. John's Meadows on Elmwood. That's approximately where on Elmwood?
Give me a second. For Petey's sake, near South Clinton.
Oh, okay.
Near Highland. Near Highland. It's around the corner from Zeb's, on the other side of the street.
Okay.
Clinton is correct. If it's St. John Meadows, it's near Elmwood and Clinton.
Okay.
What did I say?
Highland.
Yeah, I heard a
from
Highland.
On the other side. But...
Yeah,
okay.
So
I can find
it. That's East Henrietta.
I know where McQuaid is, so I can find it. Not a problem. What time do they meet?
The meeting starts at 7. People start gathering as they wander in. They're Google people. But it's the meeting starts at 7. It's in the Briarwood building. You can indeed find us on, I just need to go there, Rochester. You can find us on Google Plus.
And that's what I went to. And it says to go to rochestergoogles.com, which doesn't exist.
I was able to get to Rochester Googles, but like I said, it's very dated.
So hold on a second. I'm just going to
I used the link that Steve posted last week, and it did take me to Rochester Googles.
Yeah.
But it's very dated.
Rochester Google. Oh, it's private. You need to ask to join.
Oh.
And the last post on it is March 25th, so it's not that dated.
Well, the one that was coming up was 2 years old, so. Okay.
Yeah, it's a private group. It's 80 members currently, and we've got a whole bunch of stuff, and it does meet the first Thursday of every month.
Okay, 7 o'clock, St. John's Meadows Briarwood Building.
Yeah.
All right, I'll find that. Okay. When I get there, I'll have somebody show me how to get into it, because I figure somebody there will know how. Second question. Many moons back, Windows, when you did copy files, it used to let you pick options of the type of things you wanted copied. One of that was only copy what's been changed since the last time it was copied.
Right.
That's not available in Windows anymore that I can find.
It's not easy, no.
Right.
The problem with all of this stuff, what version of Windows are you on?
Out there that I can get and download that will still have that function to it?
Hold on a second. What you want to do is the copy command has some extensions to it. And I'm reading them now, and I don't see copy only the latest. ASCII binary destination. You can decrypt it. That's nice.
Did that used to be an X copy?
Yeah. We have good. This is good radio here. I'm trying to read the help for X copy. There we go. Changed on or after a specific date or whatever. So it's not the copy command anymore. It's X copy. So if you were to type xcopy/?, you will say that you will see that you can say /A, which is only the ones where the archive attribute has been set. That is to say, they have not yet been copied, so they need to be archived. /D followed by an actual date, which says copy the files changed on or after the that specific date, plus a whole bunch of others.
Okay.
So it's not the copy command, it's the xcopy command.
Okay.
X-C-O-P-Y, it's all one.
Okay, yeah. That just gives me a very quick and dirty backup process. I can just click it and go and send it where I want it, and it moves it out there, and it only copies what I've changed since the last time I backed up, which is actually quicker and easier than a lot of the backup stuff.
Oh, yeah. I use a program under Linux called, well, it doesn't matter. We're going to take a quick break back in just a bit. It's called rsync.
Can I stay with you till after?
Stay on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Andy from Greece, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we're back. Before we get back to Andy, let me remind you that we are still in a pledge drive. And we really, truly need you to step up.
We haven't gotten one pledge.
We haven't gotten one pledge. Not one. We got David at the beginning of the show, and we thank him for his very generous.
And see what folks don't realize. Just like the past few callers, you know, you're there with the we're here with the answers and everything else to help solve their problems, give them directions and everything else. But then when it comes to supporting us.
You're not there. I don't understand.
It's like, it's like dead air there. Yeah.
You know, people call up all the time. Oh, how do I do this? Thank you so much for telling us about backing up. Thank you so much for telling us about protecting our machines. Well, you know what? That's great. But if we want to stay on the air
and
continue
pay the bills
to do that, we need your help. We need your help to make sure that that continues to happen. And you do that by making the call and making the pledge. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We do this because we love giving people information and helping them out. But it really kind of gets to the point where it's like, well, if you don't actually care, then why are we doing this? So please make the call, make the pledge, keep us on the air. We love coming here for 2 hours every week and giving you the advice and help that you need. But frankly, I'll be completely honest. It would be a lot easier for my weekend if we were only here an hour a week.
Yeah.
So maybe don't call
if at all. Yeah. If that
so
at
maybe
all.
Don't call in.
Yeah.
I'll get my Saturdays back. That's okay, too.
Yeah.
But we're back to the phones, and we're talking to Andy from Greece. I'm sorry, Andy. You were saying before the break?
It's okay. I'm going to digress for just a second. I did finally, after 2 years of procrastination, call in and sign up for the Jazz-O-Matic.
That's what we love to hear.
And I told him to keep the swag, put it towards the station. I don't need another baseball hat or T-shirt.
God bless you, Andy. You're okay.
They very nicely sent me out the membership card, I'm looking through that, and that's really kind of neat.
It's actually pretty amazing. The membership card has a lot of
a lot of the so much towards the entree type of things at places that I might not even have gone to. So we give my wife and I some places to explore.
Good for you. That's what I like to hear. The rest of you who have not participated and become members, you can go to jazz901.org. Slide down on the right, you'll see a picture of the blue member card. Click on it, it'll take you and explain what it's about and all the. It's over 70 restaurants, 2-for-1 savings, all kinds of things. So it's worth more than your pledge, trust me. So thanks, Andy. Anyway, go back to your question about you were talking xcopy and stuff.
Meanwhile, back to business. Everybody's talking about you got to update your drivers before you go to Windows 10.
Right.
And it's they're getting a little more desperate on their almost daily messages that I really need to upgrade to Windows 10. So I'm figuring I'm going to have to do it here pretty soon. I've got two machines I've got to worry about. I've got an HP Envy running 8.1 Pro, and I've got a box I built for myself. It's running an Asus motherboard with Win 7 Pro, i7 Intel processor, 16 gigs of RAM. I'm using all the onboard sound and video. What's the best way to get the drivers? Where do I go to get the drivers updated, or what's the best way to do it?
Well, for the HP Envy, you should be able to go to HP's website, put in your serial number, and it will take you to the driver. Well, go to the driver download page, put in your serial number, and it will take you to a page that lists all the drivers for that particular model. And you should be able to download the Windows 10 drivers. And so, you know, put them on a folder on your desktop and your download for wherever you want them.
Quite often there's a upgrade to Windows 10 compatibility notice or hints or tips or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
For that specific model.
As for the white box, now you've got to do that for each individual component.
Or if he says if it's all on the motherboard. If I understood you right, you said everything's on the motherboard?
Yep.
All right. What you want to do is take the side of the case off.
Yep.
And on the motherboard, you're going to see a model number.
Unless you still have that
written down from when you built it.
Yeah. But
you should.
Yeah, the model and version.
There's the model and version stamped on the motherboard.
I think I still got the box with the sticker
on it. And it'll tell you right there, and that's what you go searching for. And you can then get all the drivers. Say it's an ASUS, like you said, an ASUS motherboard, particular model. You can go to ASUS, search on that motherboard, and if they've got the drivers, it'll list it right there for you. Both for the network, the video, you know, the sound, the whole nine yards. USB upgrades, all that you would need if it's got a for Windows 10, which that one should be.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised if they're not, because some of them with ASUS, I've got one system that I did upgrade to Windows 10. It was an ASUS motherboard, and that only had 8 gig of memory, and I just went ahead and did it, and all the drivers updated automatically for it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, cool. For Windows 10.
All right. I've got an network set up in the house, which is why I went to the pro version of both Windows versions. Is there anything I need to do to my Linksys router if I'm taking these to 10?
No.
But you should check for firmware updates anyway.
Right. Always check for those kind of things. Also, please make sure you've got a verified good set of backups for both machines. Because you never know.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was what was prompting the Xcopy question.
Right. There you go.
And we've got a 4 terabyte drive sitting out off the USB port on the network
perfect
unit. So I've got my own cloud, and so that's I just go through the data and the everything, and it just we've got it mapped to each machine, and when I run the copy, it takes it out. But if I can do the setting the parameters, it just does it that much quicker.
All right, excellent.
Rather than redoing everything.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you very much for all of your help, and if
good
I
luck.
Get there, I'll see you Thursday night.
You got it. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Right. It's this Thursday.
Yep.
This Thursday at 7 o'clock at St. John Meadows. I don't know why people can't see. I think it's because it's private. I think it was Jerry who set it up. Mm-hmm. Jerry, if you're listening, unprivatize it, I guess, is the thing to do for that. And don't forget, folks, please give us a call and make a pledge. We're only $9,000 short of our goal, and it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it's 10% of the goal. No, excuse me, it's a fifth of the goal, 20% of the goal. So we need you to help. We don't ask for a lot of money, $50,000 twice a year, and so we're currently 20% short of our goal. Only you can get us there. Only you can keep this show on the air. Only you can prove to the powers that be that this show should stay on this station. I can't put it more plainly than that. If you don't care, don't call. And in fact, just turn off the radio, which some of you do until we stop pledging, and then you listen back. And I get it. And you can leave
because they're so embarrassed.
That's your business. Yeah, I know. I get
it. They're embarrassed.
I get it. You know, oh my God, I didn't even, not even $5, not even $10. If you don't want to talk to a human being, pledge online, jazz901.org. Just at the bottom, say it's for sound bites. Let's get Linton off his butt back at home and make him give us a little text message with an amount on it. But we can't do that alone. We need you to do it. I can't believe no one person, not one single person has made a pledge in this entire hour. That depresses me, to be honest.
Like Andy said, though, he did it jazzomatically. And it just automatically comes out of his account. You know,
minimum $10 a month.
$10 a month is minimum. And here's the beauty of it. You can stop at any time. There's no long-term contract. So, you know, if circumstances come up or whatever.
We understand life happens.
Yeah, and you can even increase it if you want to. It doesn't matter as long as you're giving. That's the bottom line.
Right. Right. We need you to do that. Please, please, please. This could be a pledge coming in now. You never know. If it's a pledge, please hold. Did you ask him if it was a pledge? All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. Welcome, James. What's up?
Yes. My question is, how do you export the favorites from Google Chrome to Internet Explorer list?
Okay, hold on. Google Chrome, what you do is you go up to, and the upper left of those three bars.
Yeah, I did that, and I exported them, and I'm halfway there. It says, where do you want to import your favorites from now?
Well, you point it to that file.
Okay, because it says browse, type or open. Type or browse a file.
Are you doing this to Internet Explorer?
Yes.
All right. You have to save when you do the export from.
Yeah, I did the save.
Chrome, you have to save it in a format that is understood by Internet Explorer.
Okay.
So there are multiple formats that you can use, and what I'm trying to do now is import from another browser. Oh, well, this makes it even easier. Now I'm using Edge now. I don't have the old Internet Explorer. So what mine says is just, it says import or export. I said import. It said from where? I said another browser. And it says Chrome. There it is, Chrome. Boom. I could hit Chrome, and it would do the import. So
did that automatically replace the old bookmarks?
It should add it to the old bookmarks.
Because I just want to replace it.
Well, you know, you can go through and then just delete your old bookmarks.
One by one or all together?
No, pretty much one by one. Well, you can do that. If you want to, you can do that before you even do the import.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
Right, that's probably the easiest way to do it.
Because I want to replace the whole batch.
There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, good luck.
Yep, you're very welcome.
Thanks. So that's on Edge now. I'm not using, I have a Windows 10 machine here, but it's using Edge, not Internet Explorer. So that could be a problem right there. So that's a little different. Bless you, John. We have John from Rochester who has made a pledge. Thank you so much. It's so much. It's so good to see that someone cares, frankly, about this show. And we appreciate your pledge. We appreciate you being a member. We appreciate you stepping up like an adult and becoming a part of this station. And a part of our family. Thank you, John, very much for your generous donation. And the rest of you, where are you? Give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800. Say, our Canadian listeners, we've heard from one this week, just one, 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online. Let us get Rob Linton off his tuchus. Give us and you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. www.bobandbob.org. This is the perfect time to do that. We have Bob from Rochester on the line. We got about a minute before we got to take a break, so we can at least get your question in, Bob. What's up?
It's the disc station guy again. I found some useful information. This will be brief. I went to Windows Control Panel Credentials Manager, and I found my administrator password stored there. And it says remove from vault.
There you go.
Okay, and now it's asking me for a password. That's what I was looking for.
I don't know how
I found this.
Well, good for you.
Very good.
Just sharing.
Well done. Thank you, Bob. Bye. We appreciate it. Bye-bye. So, again, it's a specific piece of information that's only useful if you're using the Disk Station program, but it's a good thing to know. It's a great thing to know.
It's out there, and it'll be on our website as information.
That's exactly right. So you'll be able to go and get that if you want. So the last chance for us to remind you that we are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we would very much like your help. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. If you don't want to talk to a human being, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. A lot of people don't pledge because they say, well, I can't afford much. I can only afford $5, $10, whatever it is. Hey, look, two things. First, we get it. These are parlous economic times, and we get that there are people who cannot afford $1,000 at a pop. That doesn't mean you should be embarrassed by that. Any help at all is help, and that's what we need right now. We're coming to you begging for money. How is anything more embarrassing than that? So if you have $5, $10, $20, we'll be more than delighted and thrilled to take your pledge. Call or get online at jazz901.org and pledge securely, and we will be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. If you're on the line, stay on the line. If you're not on the line, why not? And please pledge. Back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites hurtling headlong into the second half of this particular show. Listen, we've been talking about having a pledge drive and how people are not calling in. Well, guess what? Because you have not called in and make a pledge, we've actually had two people call in and give us additional gifts on top of their already
generous memberships. That's above and beyond and unbelievable.
We want to thank Bert from Palmyra, and we want to thank Christine from Rochester. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you for stepping up where other people are not. Thank you so much for your help at this time. We want to stay on the air. Clearly, at least you folks, and the other folks who called in today, you folks also want to see us stay on the air. And it's people like you who make us happy to be continuing to do this. So thank you so much to those of you who were kind enough to either join or were incredibly generous to give us additional gifts. That's exactly what keeps this station on the air, and it's what keeps this show on this station. It is you people who make this show. And if it stays on the air, it's because of people like them. So all kudos to them, all thanks to them. Those of you who have not pledged, shame on you. Other people are stepping up to take up your slack. Make the call, make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800 7900415. Of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. Dennis, are you a member?
I renewed a couple weeks ago.
I was That's what I like to
a member
hear.
And renewed. You know, it bugs the hell out of me that people, it's 10% or less of the people who are listening to your show who contribute.
Right. It's true.
And they're the people who are, I understand it all, all 90% aren't, you know, there's some people out there that can't contribute at all, or maybe they can only contribute a few bucks,
right.
But there's many people who can contribute a lot more.
Right, right. And they just can't be bothered. And I get that.
Someone else will do it.
It's not unreasonable to say that you give out hundreds of dollars worth of information each week that you're on, and that doesn't count the time that you have to spend preparing for the show, driving to and from the show, the gasoline, all that other stuff that you're not getting paid for. It just really makes me angry that people aren't doing this. It's so selfish. And again, I'm not talking about people who, for one reason or another, can't contribute anything, but there are many people out there who are just too lazy or too selfish to contribute.
You're absolutely right, Dennis. And yeah, we could not have said it better ourselves.
You hit the nail on the head.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dennis. And Dennis is absolutely right. I am not talking to those folks who cannot afford it.
Right.
And I mean, seriously cannot afford
it. We've all been there.
Like
at
they're
one
out
point
of work
lives.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly. I get that. But people who decide they can't afford it because they don't want to spend the extra
Leeches.
$10, I got nothing. If you could wear, and it's mostly because people are anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same reason people are complete jerks on the internet.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who you are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and nobody knows you're a dog on the internet, right? So if people had to wear a sign that said, I listen to Sound Bites and didn't pledge, we'd probably see more pledges. Clearly, their internal shame meters or their conscience, as we call it, is not working at all. And it's to you people that I just want to say, I'm sorry you're broken. But if you can figure out a way to fix yourself, make the call, make the pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And the reality is, if you don't, and we say this and nobody believes it apparently, if you don't pledge, there is every possibility that we will not be on in this form later
Rob
on.
Rob could cut us. I mean, we're the only talk show on a jazz station.
That's right.
Think about that, folks. That is so far out in left field that he took a chance on us and said, do you want to come to Jazz 90.1? Because when we were doing it elsewhere, we thought, once we left there, we thought we were done.
Right.
And yes...
Rob loves us, and
mm-hmm.
we love Rob. We even have a safe word. But the reality is that he also has a board.
He's got to make money.
He has to make money. And if this show doesn't make money, it gets replaced. That's not a maybe or an if or a could be or might
That's
happen in
life.
The future. That's the way the world works. This show needs to make money, and the way we make money is for you to make the pledge. So please make the call, make the pledge. It's so simple. It takes less than a couple of minutes of your time. We're not asking for $1,000, although God knows if you've got $1,000 you aren't using, we'd love to have it.
That'd be nice.
But, or, you know, anybody who'd like to call and pay the entire $9,000 we're short would be great. If you pay the $9,000, Rob Linton will come to your home and cut your lawn twice for $9,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a question.
Or like he said, he'll send Phil.
Or send Phil. He said that last week. He'll send Phil. But we need you to keep this show on the air. We can't do it ourselves. If I had $9,000, I'd just give it to him and be done. But I make a pledge every time because we need to do that just like you do. But that doesn't mean that we can do it ourselves. You need to step up. I wouldn't ask you to do anything I'm not doing myself.
Mm-hmm.
I made the pledge. You should make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's what part of being an adult is about. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. 1-800-875-1515, and you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We need you to step up, be an adult, make the call, make the pledge. Doesn't have to be a lot. If you've got $10, pledge $10. If you've got $1,000, pledge $1,000. Anything in between is perfectly fine. We need your help to keep this show on the air. It doesn't get simpler than that. And if you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. We've had some people step up to do it, but we need you. And the only way that's going to happen is if you make the call, if you make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It looks like we actually got a pledge online. We got a couple of pledges online. I'm very excited about this. This is the sort of thing that makes this station continue to keep us on the air. And it's you people making that call, making that pledge. This is what keeps us on the air. It's not us. The number of calls, that's nice. It means people like our show and pay attention and love us, and that's great. But what keeps the show on the air is the pledges. And the only way that happens is if you make the call, make the pledge, get online, jazz901.org. You can make a secure pledge, and it will mean the world to us. And it will mean that we get to stay on the air for a little longer. That's the way it works. This is not an April Fool's gag. This is the way the world works. And as adults, we know this. And as adults, you know that. So be an adult. Make the call. Make the pledge. I want to thank Christian and Anonymous and Ed and Larry and Patrick, all of whom made very generous donations. So thank you very much. And in fact, apparently we can thank Pat from Batavia in person. Thank you so much, Pat.
You're very welcome, Nick.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it very much. So what's up?
Well, I'd like you to help me with some confusion that I know I'm going to have in the future. When you talk about the Google group that meets on the first Thursday,
yeah,
I can always remember that. And right now I wrote down on my notepad that it is St. John's Meadow near Elmwood and Clinton.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the problem. I want to lose this. And what happens is I've tried Googling it several times. Can you give me a tip on what to Google so when I lose, or if I lose this, I don't have to wait another month, to go?
All right, here's the deal. There are two Rochester Googles groups, and I'm looking for the second one.
One of them you can find that doesn't have any updated information.
Yeah, and the other one which you cannot find yet. And one of the things I'm hoping is that Jerry will fix the group because it seems to be private right now. But we also have a connection. What just happened here?
Your screen went black.
My screen went dark. There is also a Rochester Googles group on Facebook. And it is us. And it also has activity from the 25th of March. So if you search for Rochester Googles, again, it's a closed group, but I think Rochester, if you search for Rochester Googles on Facebook, Steve's doing that because he's not a member, you should be able to find it.
If I spell it right.
If you spell it right, he's doing that right now.
Well, I'm typing to it. It just seems ironic that the one thing you can't find with Google is a Google group.
Yeah. Well, that's because it was set to be private, and that I suppose could be a mistake.
Let me ask you: if it's private, then that sounds like they don't want people to come.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah,
so exactly. That was probably an accident.
Yeah, that was probably
I wouldn't go if you don't want people.
Right.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I've run into on Facebook. I'm doing the Apple Cider group too. When you make it's stupid when you make something as a group, it's private by default. But right. when you're just a person making something on Facebook, it's public by default.
Yeah.
Which should be the opposite way around.
You would certainly think so. But the point is, you should be able to find the Rochester Google's group, and you should be able to request to join.
Okay. I just looked. I haven't found it yet. But is it called Rochester Google Group?
Rochester Google's.
Oh, with an S.
With an S. Right. Google, in this case, would be a verb. Rochester Googles.
Well, I'll say if you wanted to be anonymous, they're doing a good job at it. That makes people want to join because they can't figure out how to get in it.
Right. I will also put a link later today. I will put a link on the Soundbites website to the Rochester Googles group.
Okay. But anyway, I'll try not to lose this paper because... okay, good. And at 7 o'clock this Thursday?
7 o'clock this Thursday at St. John Meadows.
Now, what about the Briarwood? Is that a specific building there?
Yeah, that's a specific building. When you come in the front entrance, you'll see a bunch of signs. Briarwood is around to the right.
Got it. Okay. I'm going to plan to be there early so I can be sure I find it. So thank you again.
You'll see us all struggling in.
And I'll keep on the way at this other one then.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. A lot of interest in Google. If you have a Chromebook, bring it. We'll be happy to help you get it running. If you've got some other device, an Android tablet, or whatever it is you want, we'll be more than happy to...
This Thursday is the Mars Rocket Meeting at RIT that I go to, so...
I don't know what to tell you.
Too many things.
Too many things all at the same time.
We'll start at RIT and then head over to Rochester Meadows and...
Yeah, right. I'll see about putting that on the website.
I posted a link to the Facebook group on the link list.
Oh, good. Okay. So that'll get you at least that far. Because now we can actually see the Facebook stuff here. Currently taking another pledge and that excites the heck out of me. So while they're doing that, I will try to calm down enough to read a news item. Or we're going to take a quick break. That's even better. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you making pledges. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright, and Steve is
taking a pledge.
We got some folks stepping up to the plate and doing as we ask because, you know what? They really care about this show and want to keep it going.
That's what we love to hear.
And it's only going to happen if you folks do this. I mean, there's just no other way it can be done.
Yeah, there's no magic here. There's you or nobody.
Yeah, it's not like we can go to a bank or government and say, you know what, we need some assistance here. Or, you know, help us out like you do so many other things. No, we're nonprofit.
And we do not get any money from the federal government, from the state government, from the city, from the county, from anybody. The only money we get is from you. And so you need to step up if you want to see this show stay on the air.
Well, that's why, you know, on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
Excuse me for a second.
Yeah, we're doing
multitask here. On Thursday nights, you know, I keep stressing to folks. I started this, and matter of fact, Rob's been trying to get some of the other DJs to do the same. Because when I'm on, I sit there and tell folks, call in with your request. And you know what? If we have a CD in the library, we'll play it. Because as I tell folks, it's your station. And I truly mean that because we're on the air because of you. And you're supporting one of 6 jazz stations in the world that are still around to play great jazz music. We also have the Jazz Fest, which, again, we give away tickets. And, you know, it's just great music center as a city.
And most
cruises coming up.
The jazz cruises are coming up.
Excellent. I mean, a lot of great things.
And most importantly for the people who listen to this show, this is the only station that stepped up and said, we want sound bites.
Yeah.
This is the one. So you need to support this station.
Because Rob took a gamble having us on. Like I said before on the other break, we're the only talk show on an all-music station. It was totally off the wall when he went to the board and said, I want to bring sound bites here. They go, huh?
Yeah. This was a controversial decision on their part.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they were.
So we need to prove to them that it was the right decision.
Yes.
We need to keep proving it to them. We want to thank Gary from Rochester for his incredibly generous donation to keep this station on the air. He's a renewing member to keep this show on this station, and we want to thank Gary very much for his pledge. But it's your turn. It's your turn to make the call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We need you to help keep this show on this station. It doesn't get simpler than that. We need you to step up and do your part. Time to be an adult. Time to make the call. Time to make the pledge. In the meantime, I will be happy to read another news item. While you make the call, that's the deal. I read the news, you make the call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, while I'm reading the news, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org so that you don't miss a moment of this brilliant news story. Apple is officially off the hook. The U.S. Department of Justice, with the help of a third party, has successfully accessed data on a phone used by a terrorist in December's attack in San Bernardino, California. It said it no longer needs Apple's assistance in unlocking the iPhone 5C, is that right? The version was? Used by Syed Farouk, and it has asked Riverside, California-based U.S. Magistrate Judge Sherry Pym to vacate her order, compelling Apple to assist in the case. The move Monday ended the legal battle between Apple and the FBI in this particular case, but it doesn't end the overarching battle about privacy and security. There are hundreds of other iPhones that law enforcement agencies around the country want unlocked, and opening Apple to potential litigation across the U.S. And the government's success at accessing data on the iPhone also raises some concerns about the security of Apple's devices. In fact, the FBI, which just a few days ago was attempting to convince the country of its helplessness in the face of encrypted iPhones, has generously offered its assistance in unlocking an iPhone and iPod for a prosecutor in Arkansas. The FBI has also asked Google numerous times for help unlocking Android phones. It is unclear how many times, if ever, Google has complied and helped unlock the phones. Monday's news raises questions about the security of Apple's devices and how the Justice Department was able to break into the phone. The FBI hasn't said what company it's working with or what method it used to access the data. Cellebrite, a privately held Israeli company that specializes in transferring and extracting data from phones, has been named in some reports as the third party helping the FBI unlock the iPhone, but neither the FBI nor Cellebrite have confirmed the reports. A law enforcement official speaking Monday on condition of anonymity declined to specify how the FBI got into the phone or what company helped it gain access. The official also declined to say whether the method works on other iPhones besides Farouk's iPhone 5C, and it would not say whether if the FBI would tell Apple about how it got into the phone. Still, if the FBI was able to hack into the iPhone 5C, it could mean other iPhones aren't as secure as believed. Apple now will have to try to pinpoint the flaw and fix it, most likely without help from the U.S. government in showing how it got in. So while this resolution averts a crisis, it means Apple has a lot more work to do. So how secure are you feeling about your iPhone now? Give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. I want to thank the following people who, again, generously stepped up and became members or additional gift members of this station. Richard from Rochester, a different Richard from Rochester, Thomas from Williamson, and Joel from Pittsford. Thank you so much for stepping up, for making the call, for making the pledge. All of them pledged online securely at jazz901.org. Those of you who are listening to the podcast at a later date, that is the perfect way to become a member. Jazz901.org. It's up 24/7, so even you night owls in the middle of your night-long Jolt-fueled session. Do they still even make Jolt? Used to be made here in Rochester.
No, I don't think so.
Anyway, caffeine in some form fueled. I guess it's, what is it? Mountain Dew has a
Code Red.
Code Red fueled Red evening. Bull. Or Red Bull. Yeah exactly. So you can pledge 24/7, although you really only have to pledge once per year, if you like, or once certainly per pledge drive. So thanks to each and every one of you. The rest of you, don't wait. We'd love to end this pledge drive now. It's already gone on longer than we wanted it to. But that's you. That's on you. That's not on us. You know, people say, oh, you guys are still pledging. No, it's not us. It's you. If you call and make the pledge and we hit our $50,000 mark, we're done.
Yeah.
It's not us that's keeping the pledge going. Trust me, it's not us. So please make the call, make the pledge. We've had a number of people who are incredibly generous today and are helping us to reach our goal. You could be one of them. $10, $5, $50, $1,000. Any amount is the right amount.
Yep.
But we need you to pick up that phone and make that call, make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online if you don't like talking to humans at jazz901.org. And for many of you, think carefully about becoming a Jazz-O-Matic member. It's real simple. When you call, just say, I want to be a Jazz-O-Matic member. And then for a minimum donation of $10 a month, we will automatically deduct that from your credit card, with your permission, of course. You can continue it for as long as you want. If you need to stop at any time, just let us know. We get it. Life is what life is. And if you make that pledge as a Jazz-O-Matic member and things change, you can always stop or you can increase it, which would be even greater. So whichever way you want to go, believe me, this is the most flexible pledging option I have ever seen on any station. So believe me when I tell you that's, you know, if you've got the money, it's a nice, easy way to not have to take the bite all at once.
Yeah. And you can quit at any time. That's the other thing. You know, I don't want to get into long-term commitment. You know, I might have other stuff. That's okay. Even if you only do it for 5-6 months, that's okay.
Right. By the way, St. John's Meadow, isn't this what I said last time? It's kind of at the corner of Elmwood and Clinton.
You said Highland.
What did I say?
You said Highland last time.
Did I? I lied. Mm-hmm. It's that's simple enough.
Across from McQuaid, basically.
Yeah, it's essentially, yeah, sort of. Yeah.
It's Topps Plaza, even though Topps isn't there anymore.
Right, right.
So what is it now? It's Lohman's Plaza now.
It's kind of across from Lac de Ville, across from Persimmon Park or the Elmwood Manor Apartments, that sort of fair. Sort of around the corner the other way from Zeb's, if you know where that is. It's St. John Meadows. St. John's, with an apostrophe, St. John's. Meadows, plural. St. John's Meadows. It's an assisted living facility. They have a number of large rooms. Art Trimble, who is the almost official mayor of St. John's Meadows, is the guy who procures that room for us each month. And all you have to do is look for Briarwood. You go to Google Maps and type in St. John's Meadows, and it will show you exactly where it is. When you go in, you'll see sign to the right pointing you toward Briarwood. It's the first one around the corner. And you probably, if you get there at the right time, will see us all streaming in. Come and join us. The more the merrier.
That's my old neighborhood.
Perfectly happy to have everybody there.
I was on Roby Drive in Brighton, there on Elmwood.
There you go.
Yeah, it's just down the street. So if anybody's driving, you know, you get off at the Elmwood exit. We're doing 590. Yeah, that's 590. And or no, is that 590? Yeah, that's still 590. I always get them confused where they cross, but that's 590. Get off at Elmwood Avenue, and you'll make a right-hand turn, and you just head west, and it's one, two, three, four lights.
There you go.
Down, and you'll hit the corner of Clinton and Elmwood Avenue, and it's left-hand turn. It's right down there.
Yeah, it's just a little before. It's before before Strong and all of that. The distillery is around the corner.
Yeah, that's just a couple more lights up the Al Siegel Center.
Right.
Yep, and all that.
Right. Yep. So it's in that neighborhood, really, just like I said, Google Maps.
Well, right next St. to Highland, the Lilac Festival. You're right there at the back door of the Lilac Festival.
Right. And so it's right there, and we'd love to see you. We're more than happy to welcome new members and have people show up. It's pretty cool. We have a lot of good people. And it's not just about Google itself. It's about Android. It's about pretty much anything anybody wants to talk about, mm-hmm. because we don't care. But, you know, we'll talk. We've had presentations about mapping. We've had Google Maps. We've had mm-hmm. presentations about Google Docs. We've had presentations about voice-activated voice typing. So basically a little bit of everything, how you can do voice typing into Google Docs. We'd like to thank Harry from Rochester, New York, for his donation. Thank you so much, Harry. Thank you so much for your renewed membership. We're always, always, always happy to make sure that our members are with us and pleased with what we're doing. Clearly,
he called himself a contributor.
There you go, contributing to the continued success of all of us on this. With our computers and all the stuff that we normally do. And it's up to you. It's up to you to make the call and make the pledge. Join Harry and everybody else who's pledged today. We need your assistance. You can do it over the phone, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. But, of course, let's face it, when you are calling on the line, you may have to wait. We have only the one phone line, and there's only one Steve. And if we're actually on the line with somebody answering a computer question, that makes it harder to answer your pledge. So to take your pledge. So one thing you might want to do is pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And our next caller is this true? Joe from West Virginia. Joe, welcome.
Hi, Nick. How are you? I'm originally from Rochester.
There you go. And where are you in West Virginia?
Martinsburg,
West Virginia.
Yes.
What brought you to Martinsburg?
My wife and her family.
Wow, very cool. Very cool. Well, I'm glad you're still listening. What can we do for you, Joe?
Well, this is a problem that I've been having with Windows 10. My wife and I both run Windows 10. And the problem is that every now and then we keep losing our internet connection.
Okay.
Hold on. It's our wireless internet connection.
All right. And none of your other machines are losing?
Not our smartphones, no.
Right. And they're also connected wirelessly.
Correct.
Although they probably fall back to cellular, and you might not notice if it lost
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that leads me to troubleshooting. First, make sure that it's not the router itself.
How old is your wireless router? That's too old.
Yeah.
No. I believe it's only like maybe a couple of years old.
That's not too bad. One of the things that often happens is because these routers are always on, they're always sitting there, they're usually shoved under a desk, they tend to get hot and dusty and can wear out in a few years. And the technology changes so fast that you might have a G or an N router and the new ones are AC.
All right, listen, Joe, we got to take a break. Stay on the line. Do not go away. Stay on the line. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Joe from Martinsburg, West Virginia, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 40 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, before we go back to the phones, let me thank both Andrew and Daniel, who were generous and kind enough to pledge during the break. It is our joy to welcome them to the Soundbites family. And we are on the line with Joe, hailing all the way from Martinsburg, West Virginia.
And with Joe, the state soil is the Monongahela.
Will you stop?
Wikipedia is dangerous.
The entire break reading me the state flower and the
bugs and everything else.
Wikipedia is the worst thing to happen to me for since Steve Ray.
It's TMI. Way too much.
Yeah,
information.
Exactly. All right, so you've got this wireless router, which is a couple of years old.
If I give you the model number, you could probably tell how old it is, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Linksys E1500?
The E1500 is not that new.
Okay, yeah. Because it says right here, it says compatible with Windows 7.
Yeah.
That tells it all.
I had an E3000, so that tells you a little something. And that's not terribly new.
It is an N router, though.
It is an N router. That's a good thing. Here's the deal. One of the problems that many people have, and everybody listening should pay attention to this, we don't dust our equipment very much. And dust is an amazing insulator. So systems can overheat easily when they are dusty.
Especially if it's under the desk, like a lot of people shove all their routers and stuff.
Right. You've got no air circulation and it's got a layer of dust on it. So one thing I would suggest you do is if you can, put your router somewhere where it'll get some air circulation and dust it once in a while. So that might help. The other thing to do is when your system goes offline, make sure that by checking your phone or a tablet or something, that it is the only device offline.
Well, yes. I mean, if we do check our phones, and the phones still say they have a wireless connection.
Okay. So then it is Windows 10 itself. That's an important point.
Okay.
Because we don't want to solve the wrong problem.
Yes. And, I mean, I've updated the drivers. I've combed the whole internet for solutions, and I think I've tried just about every one.
Now, this is it intermittent, or is it when it comes back from sleep, or what?
Intermittent.
Okay, so it just randomly drops it.
Yeah.
Okay, and you've checked to make sure you've got the correct drivers.
Yes.
And, wow.
I mean, I've tried resetting the Winsock and.
Well, yeah, there should be a driver specifically for your particular network card.
In each computer, which may have separate drivers depending on what cards in each computer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Wait. I mean, I've updated our drivers on the for the wireless wireless card.
Okay,
but we are using the latest drivers.
Right, so you're sure that it's the right driver and the right card.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
How often does it happen?
Immediately, every few hours or so. Like I would probably say maybe about every 5 to 6 hours or so.
And not quite often enough to take it to somewhere else and see if the same thing happens there.
Yeah.
What's the physical distance and relationship between the router and the computers? Is there anything between them, like a kitchen or bathroom?
I would say maybe a lamp.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not the lamp.
We've seen issues with.
Our laptops are maybe just a few feet away from the router.
Yeah, that should be okay. We've seen cases where you're trying to go through a kitchen, and whenever someone microwaves their coffee, the wireless goes down because it's the same frequency.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm surprised nobody else has called about this problem, and I've looked online, and
there's been quite a few complaints about it.
Yeah, there are a lot of problems, particularly with the Broadcom Netlink, the Broadcom adapters.
What? See, one thing you could try when it goes down, bring up a command prompt and
he's
try
only
to,
got
try
one
to ping
router,
it.
Right?
Right.
Bring up a command line and try to ping the router. Which will do a low level networking test to see if it's still something talking.
Right. Now, and that'll also tell you if you're connected to the router, but the router's not connected to the internet. So here's a question.
Sure.
Do you know who makes the Ethernet adapter in your computer?
Oh, it's the, I have to check. Hang on a second.
Because if it's from a company called Broadcom, then you need to go to their website to get the proper driver.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't hurt to check Linksys' website.
Yeah, they've done it on Dell's site. I do have the latest one from Dell.
So this is a Dell laptop?
Dell laptop. That's all we have here, our laptops.
Right. So when your laptop goes out, nobody else's laptop goes out.
Yeah. I'm there right now.
Okay, so you've gone to Dell's website, you've put in your serial number, you've downloaded all the drivers for that thing. And when did you do that? How long ago?
Oh, it's the Intel Centrino.
Okay. Is this an XPS 13?
It's the Ultimate N6300 AGN.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm seeing more of that than I would like to see on Dell's website as well. This looks like a fairly continuing issue.
With different computers and different network adapters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I've called Microsoft, and they don't even have any real solutions.
No, yeah, they're not going to. And you know, I'm looking on Dell's website, and they've got an entire page of what it basically says is, who knows, try this.
Sorry, say again? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm running, I'm running an older Dell laptop, which is the Latitude E6410. But my wife's computer, which is an HP, is only a few years old, about 4 years old.
There's one suggestion to check your system power settings and change the plan to balanced.
I've done that.
All right, now let me ask this. When one of them goes, so you've got multiple laptops, all of which lose that connectivity.
Yes.
At the exact same
time?
In fact, it did it a few hours ago. Both at the same time.
Okay, so that tells me it's the router.
Especially if it's different model Dells that would have different network cards.
And one's
an
HP.
That's the only thing I'm thinking is it's got to be the router.
Yeah.
Okay, so that tells me it's the router, and you've got, again, excuse me, I beg your pardon. I'm choking to death.
Yeah, one quick fix, turn the router off, let it rest overnight. And as Nick suggested earlier, you know, try to dust it out if you can.
Dust it off, yeah.
Check Linksys' website to see if there isn't an update for it.
I checked to see if there was a firmware update.
Yeah. And it may just be that the router is wearing out.
They do that
because it's one of those things that are on all the time.
Particularly if it is dusty and gets over, nothing kills electronics faster than heat.
And
it might
be an excuse to get a new AC router.
Yeah, tell everybody we said it's time to get a new router.
Yeah, I think my wife agrees with that too.
And at least it's something to try, and see how that works. So
and relatively speaking, a router is not that expensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I mean, I just want to let you guys know that we are also members too.
That's what I like to hear.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I would also like to
I just found another something. There's a specific power management for the network adapter. And make sure that's turned off so the network adapter isn't going to sleep.
Right, right. But again, if it happens on multiple machines simultaneously,
it's probably not.
Then the likelihood is it's the router.
Computer, yeah.
We'd also like to thank Dennis from Webster. for his generous donation. We'd also like to thank Dennis from Rochester for his generous donation. He's an additional gift again. So thanks so much about that. And somebody wanted to know about the Chrome meeting. The group is called Rochester Googles. It meets the first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at St. John's Meadows. And later this afternoon when I get home, I will put a link to a map and to the Facebook group and the Google group on our website at soundbites.org. Well, that music tells me we're done for another week. I cannot tell you how delighted I am for those of you who stepped up and adulted here today and became members of this station and members of our family here at Soundbites. Thank you so much for your generosity and for your willingness to step up. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We will be back here next week, but don't go away because George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. We're Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported, thanks to you, Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.